Good morning. I'm going to start just by asking you all a question. How many of you at some point during this last year or so have felt totally alone? You know, we've had this forced separation from some of our most everyday relationships. We've had lockdown restrictions. We've had actual physical distancing where we physically have to be separated from each other. We've had to celebrate birthdays and different gathering things where we would normally just have our friends and family around, and we can't do it the way that we used to do. And you know, that has made me at some points feel really lonely, have this deep sense of loneliness. However, I was thinking, I've also felt that sense of loneliness at other points in my life too. Have you ever had that weird experience where you're actually surrounded by people, but you have felt really alone? Maybe you've been at a party or a gathering with your friends and family, but you still have felt like you're not seen, like you are alone. How can that be? There seems to be this ache inside of us and this loneliness that is within us all. You see, we were not actually made to be lonely, but instead we were made for relationship with God. With our Creator, we were created to be friends of God. Take a minute and try and wrap your head around that concept. See, you might have heard these words before, but really think about them. Really think what it means. Creator, Almighty God, King of Kings, desires friendship with the ones that He created. He desires friendship with you. This was the plan from the very beginning. If we look at Genesis 3, the very first book in the Bible, it says this. Genesis 3, verse 8. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" Here in the Garden of Eden, man enjoyed this intimate friendship and fellowship with God. God came among them, He walked with them, and He talked with them. One of the devastating consequences of sin was it separated us from God, and this type of relationship was broken. Imagine God walking among us and talking with us as one with a friend. Don't you long for that? I know I do. If you think about the incarnation, when Jesus came to earth to win back his friends, this is exactly what he did. Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us, was literally walking among us and talking with us as one with a friend. Don't you just love Jesus? Like, don't you just really love him? When I read stories about Jesus in the Bible, I find myself wishing I was there. I want to see what his face looks like. I want to be with him and to learn from him, to talk to him. I wonder, do you think I could make him laugh? I want to be one of these disciples, getting to know him, able to ask him anything, and have him ask me things too. What questions would you ask him? There's always been a part in the Bible, in the book of John, which really, it just really makes me so sad when I read it. I find it really troubling. It's when Jesus is talking about his ascension. It's in John 16, starting at verse 5, and it says this. Now, however, this is Jesus talking, I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you asks me, where are you going? Instead, your hearts are filled with sorrow because I have told you these things. But I tell you the truth, it is for your benefit that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Oh, I find this bit of the Bible so sad. I don't want Jesus to go away. I feel like I miss him, even though I wasn't one of those disciples who walked with him. I long for this type of friendship that the disciple John had with Jesus. When he says, he is the one whom Jesus loved, I put my hand up and say, me too. I want to be the one who Jesus loves. I want that type of friendship. we read these in these verses that the disciples' hearts were filled with sorrow at this news that Jesus is giving them. Maybe they also had some of the same feelings as me. Don't go, Jesus. Don't leave us. You know, I hate goodbyes. I want good times to last forever. When I'm with my friends and family, enjoying their company, there's often a point in the proceedings when I get a twinge of sadness with the realization that this is going to end. I'm the one staying till the very end of the party, or the one who doesn't want my guests to go home, much to my husband's delight. I want to be with Jesus in person forever. It is the longing of my heart. But Jesus, who sees straight into our hearts, knows this is how the disciples are going to feel. I believe that he looks into our hearts too, and he knows this is how we can also feel. We have this ache to be with him. Now, Jesus is telling us something here. He knows our hearts will be filled with sorrow. We have a problem, this inbuilt loneliness. I think we've all felt it. We miss Jesus. It's because we were created for friendship with God. So when we don't have that, we know there's something missing. The disciples were very sad because they didn't want Jesus to leave them. They loved him and experienced true, authentic, daily friendship with God. They talked with him every day, laughing and crying and walking alongside him, learning from him, eating with him, spending their lives together. They absolutely did not want him to leave. There's a quote from Dane Ortlund that says this: "The disciples were sorrowful because Jesus was leaving them. He had befriended them and embraced them into his heart. So they thought that Jesus leaving meant Jesus' heart leaving. But the Spirit is the answer to how Jesus can leave them bodily while leaving his heart behind. The Spirit is the continuation of the heart of Christ for his people after the departure of Jesus to heaven." How beautiful is that? One of the actions of the person of the Holy Spirit is that through him, we actually get to experience Jesus' heart for us. Jesus' heart is for friendship with us. Let's read what Jesus has to say about this in Acts. Acts 1, 4 to 10 says this: "Once when he was eating with them, he commanded them," is Jesus talking, "do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised. As I told you before, John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. Jesus was leaving them with an advocate. They were not left alone. This probably explains in part why, when we read about the same scene of Jesus' ascension in Luke, we see the disciples leave and they are rejoicing. And we learn that they were filled with great joy. See, Jesus had opened their minds and they understood that Jesus had left them bodily, but their friendship with him was not over. This faithful promise is as true for us today as it was for the disciples then. We have not been left alone. He will never leave us or abandon us. Jesus told them that it would be better for them if he ascended, because the Holy Spirit would come to them. Jesus is faithful and true to his word, and through the Spirit, that friendship is open to everyone. We can all experience this presence with us, his presence with us. He is with you and me, and all who are his disciples. Jesus came to unite all things and all people in him. The disciples could continue to live their daily lives with this most mind-blowing promise, this mind-blowing friendship, eating with him, talking to him, and listening to him. This invitation was not only for the disciples back then, but it's for every single one of us today. The resurrected King of the entire cosmos, the most holy of holies, is not just putting up with us because he has to, but instead he always enjoys our presence. You know, we find this difficult to grasp. We wonder, are we being irreverent if we fully believe this? He is our King. How can he also be our friend? I've seen people almost bristle at this part of Jesus' heart towards them. Maybe they just can't believe it. I know at times I've found this impossible to comprehend. Me, Jesus' friend. We think maybe we have to choose one or the other, King and Lord or friend. But that's just not true. Just as Jesus is our King, so he is our friend. We can see an example of how this can play out in the Bible with the friendship of Jonathan and David. Jonathan had devotion to David as his king, but he also walked alongside him with this bond of true friendship. In 1 Samuel 20 verse 4, we read this. Jonathan said to David, "Whatever you want me to do, I'll do for you." Jonathan gives us a picture of both authentic, true friendship and reverence to his anointed king. It's out of love for David that he obeys and comes under his authority. It's from a heart of devotion rather than obligation that he serves him. We can learn a lot from Jonathan. You see, God made us for a purpose. He seeks friendship with us. We have a choice of how we respond to that call. In Psalm 27 verse 8, it says this, "My heart has heard you say, come and talk with me." And my heart responds, "Lord, I am coming." Lord, I am coming. That is our choice. Come and talk with me. This is the call that I have heard this year more than ever. When everything around me is shaken, when things I have thought to be true and steady are not, when it's not supposed to be this way, I have found Jesus to be true to his word, and he hasn't left me alone to deal with any of it. I have been enjoying Jesus' friendship with me in this completely new way. Perhaps it's because we're rid of distractions. Perhaps we have a new perspective. But I can honestly say Jesus is my very best friend. He never rejects me, and he always wants to be with me. One thing that I personally find particularly difficult in friendships is when people are hot one minute and cold the next. It makes me very nervous. This is never the case with Jesus. We are not just bystanders in this friendship, because that's not how friends work, is it? Have you ever had a friend who's never asked you a question? You realise you've been with somebody for a long period of time and it's just been them talking and answering your questions. It doesn't feel that nice. You may think that they maybe don't care about you. See, I love talking. I love talking to Jesus too. But I've even started listening to him. And can you believe it? I found out something. Jesus has some really great things to say. He is wise and kind and really funny. He is the most interesting friend you will ever meet. In John 15, verse 15, it says this. "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Jesus is open-hearted in his friendship with us. He reveals himself to us, and he doesn't hold back. We're not merely servants, but co-workers with him. That's the difference between servants and friends. And like any true and deep friendship, I have discovered something new this season. I don't have to fill the silence. Sometimes it is so peaceful and enough just being aware of his presence and resting there. Being in each other's company, perhaps closing your eyes when you're sitting in the garden, feeling the sun on your face, listening to his creation and resting in his presence, acknowledging that he is there with you. Brother Lawrence says this, there is not in the world a kind of life more sweet and delightful than that of a continual conversation with God. Those only can comprehend it who practice it and experience it. Have you tried this continual conversation with God? Do you go to him when you are stressed and overwhelmed? Do you tell him when you're happy? Do you talk to him about your hopes and your dreams? Let me tell you about something that happened this week. I was dealing with a very difficult situation, tense situation. I was completely overwhelmed and quite honestly, I didn't know what to do. I felt like I had hit absolute gridlock. My breathing started to go and panic was setting in. Then I remembered my friend. I stopped. I closed my eyes. I talked to him. I didn't have to use a lot of words. I felt him there. I opened my eyes and continued on, knowing I was not alone. Here's another story. I was out for a walk this week. I love getting out in nature, especially when the sun is shining in Scotland. You know, I turned a corner and then I saw that there's this type of path that I really love to walk on. It's like when the grass is a carpet. And I was walking along and I smiled and I let out a little laugh. And I said to Jesus, I love this type of path. And you know, he spoke to me, he said, I know. And I felt his smile, his face was shining on me. And I walked down this path that I love with my friend. I walked on the path that he actually made for me to delight in. See, the truth is, I do still long to see what Jesus' face looks like. But I know one day I will. I will bow down to him as King and Saviour. But also, I'm going to look into the eyes of my very best friend. You know I'm not the only one who longs for this. Lots of our worship songs talk about the day we will see him face to face. See, we were made to be friends with God forever. And as much as we ache for Jesus to come and make all things new, we do not have to wait to experience that true friendship with him. We can begin right now. Ask yourself, what kind of relationship does God want with you? What were you made for? You know, for the longest time, I didn't experience this friendship with Jesus in this way because my feelings of shame and unworthiness stopped me. I couldn't believe that I was actually part of all this, that his heart longed to be friends with me. I had very wrong thinking about the heart of Jesus and who he was. Unfortunately, because of this, I avoided him, a bit like Adam and Eve in the garden, when they hid from God, walking in the garden. But when I started to believe the truth of what the Bible actually said, I was shocked. What? Jesus really wants to be my friend. He's not just saying that. I think I had always believed he was friendly to people, especially the good ones. But true friendship with God was beyond what I could imagine. I learned that Jesus actually wasn't holding me at arm's length, but quite the opposite. And his feelings for me do not blow hot or cold depending on what I have or haven't done. There is just so much relief in that. In John 15:13, it says this, "There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He is not only my close companion, but he is my saviour. The one who laid down his life for me so I could be redeemed and restored to relationship with God." When I was writing this talk, I was so interested in what other people thought about friendship with Jesus. So I asked some people to give me insight into their own experience. I asked them two questions. One, have you found Jesus to be a friend in your life? And two, if so, what type of friend is he? I would just love to share some of the people's answers with you today. One person answered this to the question, have you found Jesus to be a friend in your life? Now, this person is really smart, so they looked up the meaning of friendship and they found it meant a person with whom one has a bond of mutual affection, typically not family. They said this, I find the typically not family interesting as it implies a choice rather than obligation. I usually think of Jesus being family as we are adopted into his family, but yes, he is my friend too, as he chose me and there is mutual affection. And to the question, what type of friend is he? This person answered this. I think like everything with God, he demonstrates how a friend should be through his inherent character of loyal, reliable love. I can offload and rant it or to him and he still loves me. And in turn, my genuine affection for him changes my behaviour as I want to please him. People speak about wanting to fit in with their friends, and that changes their behaviour because they want that affection and belonging. Well, that's just it. I want his affection and belonging. While it's great that my love for him wants me to please him, it's crazy that his love for me isn't dependent on that. True, unconditional friendship. I thought that was so awesome. I asked somebody else and they said this. I said, have you found Jesus to be a friend in your life? Yes! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. The next question was, what type of friend is he? This person said this. I have found Jesus to be reliable, trustworthy. He never lets me down. He is always there. He is a much better friend to me than I am to him. Yet he is still my friend. Oh, that's so true. I thought that was an amazing answer. Somebody else said this. Have you found Jesus to be a friend in your life? Yes. What type of friend is he? Jesus is the friend who is always there and listens in good times and in bad times. The friend who comforts and gives the best advice. Oh, I just loved hearing some of those people's answers to the questions. Well, maybe you could ask yourself those two questions right now and be honest. Have you found Jesus to be a friend in your life? And if so, what type of friend is he? You could share some of your answers in the chat if you're on watching online, or perhaps if you're in a room with people together, you could just chat about it with them just now. And if you're not, you can maybe throughout the week meet up with people and just talk that through. Best of all though, you can tell Jesus. Open yourself up to this friendship, especially if you have never let yourself believe that it could be true for you. Friendship with Jesus is the most wonderful friendship you will ever experience. It keeps growing deeper and deeper as you get to know him better. He knows you better than anyone else does, and even better than you know yourself. It feels like this is what you were made for, because it is literally what you were made for, to be in continual friendship with God forever.